the joy of knowing, the joy of knowing you. Oh, the joy of knowing, the joy of knowing you. Oh, the joy of knowing, the joy of knowing you.
Welcome to Positively Joy. Are you living life but feel like something's missing? You've come to the right place. I'm Yvette Walker, your host for this podcast on finding the true meaning of God's joy. Joy is not a feeling, it's faith. And my guests and I will talk about how to avoid falling down the rabbit hole of chasing physical or emotional joy. In this season, we'll tackle spiritual growth as we discover the true joy of the Lord. It's Yvette here, putting on my writer's hat. Do you like thrills, mystery, and a little clean romance? My latest book and first novel is on Amazon. 60 is a fast-paced crime novel of a Christian reporter who goes back to the location of her first big news story about a serial killer. Now an editor, Linda Radcliffe finds intrigue and an old love. Get your copy today. Go to positivelyjoy.com/books to see all my fiction and inspirational nonfiction, like my devotional, Whispering in His Ear, and Journaling His Joy, a 6-month guided journal to help you find real joy. Jen Hardy quotes St. Catherine of Siena when speaking about women over 50. Quote, "What is it you want to change? Your hair, your face, your body? Why? For God is in love with all those things, and He might weep when they are gone." End quote. Jen's fabulous Over 50 podcast ranks high among aging and retirement podcasts. So if you're almost 50 or over 50, listen and let Jen help you feel better about yourself. Here's Jen. Jen Hardy, thank you so much for being on the show today.
Oh my gosh, Yvette, I am so glad that you let me come on here. I am so excited to be here.
Well, we're going to talk about a lot of things. But first of all, let me just say that you are fabulous over 50. And can I say that I'm fabulous over 50 as well?
Oh, you absolutely, you can. Although I honestly would have thought you were fabulous at 30. So yeah, that's amazing.
Oh, thank you. Well, and I say that because, you know, we'll talk about how you can get a hold of Jen, but if you go to her website, jenhardy.net, you will see some wonderful things going on, but this idea of rejuvenation and recognizing women over 50, especially podcasters, I'm loving it. I'm there for all of it. And it's important and we need to have more of it.
Well, thank you. Well, you know, I think so because, you know, so I grew up in LA, right? I don't live in LA anymore, but the pressure to be perfect. And I left there when I was 30 and I was already over the hill, you know? Yeah. And, you know, I left because I wanted to get my girls away from that whole thing. But, you know, I'm lucky to be in Florida where there's a lot of people who are older here. And you know what? Those girls, those 70-year-old women, they rock those bikinis here. And I'm like, okay, this is, you know, they feel fabulous, but I was feeling miserable. And I finally started looking around thinking, you know, this is silly. Mm. You know, I need to embrace this. I need to embrace who I am because we are fabulous just the way we are. And I think, you know, our culture loses so much by not respecting the age, right? And the wisdom and the knowledge. I think we do a lot of people a disservice by doing that.
Oh, 100%. And just to turn to scripture for just a minute, look at the amazing women over 50 in the Bible, okay?
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. And I have a, I had a quote I was going to read. Oh, what is it you want to change? Your hair, your face, your body? Why? For God is in love with all those things and He might weep when they are gone. And I thought, oh my gosh, you know, God has made us just the way we are. He's made us to be this way, you know? And so when we try to correct things, you know, are we saying that we're not accepting what He wants us to be? Yeah. I think that's really important.
It is important.
You know,
you have a second podcast called Medical Gaslighting, and we're going to talk about some information that you have on medicine and your own health journey in a minute. But I think you're right. I think that we, as we're aging, we look at ourselves, we don't like what we're seeing. We maybe try to get stuff fixed. I will be honest. I go to the hair color bottle. I do that. But I tell you what, I've had gray hair since I was in my 20s and I just wasn't having it. So I've been coloring my hair for a long time. But yeah, and what you just said, that God might weep because it's gone. That I've never thought about that before. That's giving me chills.
Yeah, it's a Catherine of Siena quote. So it's not me.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. But I think we do feel like things just sometimes in our bodies are going wrong and we don't know what to do about it. And we think that, oh, we're getting old. And I will be honest with you. I have thought about this very recently, but you know what? I'm not going to worry about things because this is the latter part of my life anyway. I actually said that to myself the other day. And while it may be true, that's something I don't think I need to say to myself all the time. And I don't think God sees me like that.
No, absolutely not. We have so much to give. And, you know, I was just talking to my husband about this earlier. When I was younger, I had my four kids. I was like 31 and they were all, you know, little and under my feet. And I was exhausted and grumpy. And I was in this Bible study and everyone was retirement age, everyone and me. And they gave me the most beautiful gift because they said, you know, one day they're not going to be there. They're not going to be there. They're going to have their own lives. And this, I remember this one woman said, you know, I'm lucky if I talk to my son once a month. And I went home and I looked at my baby's boy's face. And I thought, if I could only talk to you once a month, I would die inside.
Yeah.
You know? And so she really gave me perspective. And I think, thank God he put me in that study because I would have wished their little lives away. I would have. I know so many people, you know, they can't wait till their kids turn 18. And I was so blessed to have that. And I think we lose a lot when we don't listen to that wisdom of older people, you know?
True.
I mean, I say older people because I still feel like I'm not in this category that I'm in, right? But yeah.
I know, I feel the same way. But it's perspective, right? It's perspective that we don't have. I mean, that is why iron sharpens iron. That is why we need community, because we can get perspective from so many different kinds of people. Both my parents have passed on, but before that happened, I kept saying to myself, I want to talk to them more. I want to write down stories because I've lost that perspective. But hopefully I've kept enough of it. My mother was very a commonsensical person. So hopefully she shared a lot of that with me. But I want to talk to you today. You're doing so many things and I love what you're doing for this community of women over 50 and all the opportunities you have for them if they go to your website. But we're going to talk about something today that you haven't really talked about before. And I'm honored that you'd like to talk about it with me. And that is your health journey.
Yeah, my health journey is, it's something that I had talked about it in the big picture, you know, for the last 8 years through my blog and my podcast, but the religious part of my journey, I have not talked about. And I went on a retreat last year and I really felt convicted that God was like, hello, you have this microphone, you have this platform and you are not mentioning me, you know? And that's one thing too, with people with health, for me to get through it, because people would say, you know, how can you do all these things and how can you get through it? And because I had hope, that's why. And my hope is in God. And it's not like, I hope it gets better, but it's, I have hope because I know that even if I do pass on, I get to go to heaven, right? Yeah. And so no matter how sick I get, I still have hope that it's going to be better eventually. One way or the other, here or there, it's going to be better. And that gave me such a different perspective than so many people have. And so I think that's really helped. And so back in 2018, the doctors had told me that I wasn't going to make it. Like I'd be lucky to live another year. They were going to trach me and I'd have a backpack where it would breathe for me basically was going to be the thing. And I'd be like talking out of my neck, you know, like the smoker commercial kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And I mean, if you live with that, I know it, like it's hard and I just wasn't ready. I had little kids at home and I was picturing their friends coming over and then, you know, like trying to talk to, and I thought, you know, I just really don't want that. And it really put me into a depression. And that is another thing that I just never talked about. And I kind of wish I would have to the moms, you know, when I had that, when I was talking on that podcast, but I think when you're in it, it's hard to talk about, you know?
Yeah.
And I got so down that my husband's like, okay, we need something. We need something serious. We need Jesus. We had not been going to church because we have two children with autism and the crowds. And like I had told you before, he was raised Mormon. I was raised Catholic. It is not easy to find a church that you can go to where you can both really feel comfortable when that is your history.
Yeah.
So we had bumped around to every non-denominational church or, you know, like, cause we were in the South. So any Southern Christian church you can think of. We were there and it just didn't work. So I had this really, really down day. And so he looks up on his phone. He says, there's something happening tonight. We're going now. Gets me up out of the bed, take the kids. And we walk in and it was like the hallelujah chorus. We could literally, we heard sounds that no one else could hear. It was God telling us like this was it. And it was a Catholic church. And my husband joined like that day. He's like, I want to sign up. I want to come here. And I thought, well, is this going to stay? You know, because it's different. It is not what you were raised with.
Yeah.
And he did. And right at the end of that, he felt called to move our whole family to a place where we had never lived. We don't have friends or family here. And he's like, but I don't know. God's calling me. I don't know why, but this is where we're supposed to be. And so we moved the year that I was not supposed to be making it past that year. And I thought, well, that's probably a good thing because I'm going to get my kids to the beach. We're going to settle them in this nice, beautiful place. My husband will be, you know, we live on this island 3 blocks from the beach and they can have this wonderful life when I'm gone, right? Then they won't miss me as much because they'll have this like perfect paradise.
Yeah. Can I just stop you to say that's, it's so beautiful that you thought like that, but how sad that you were trying to prepare, you were trying to get your life in order and prepare them for the rest of their lives without you. And again, that's what a mother would do. There's such beauty in that, but just hearing you say that and seeing your vibrant face today, that's so sad to me.
Well, I mean, you gotta deal with the cards you're dealt, you know? I don't know, but it worked out, you know? I mean, we don't live in some like beachfront mansion. That's not where we're at. You know, we're in a regular, you know, house, but it's this beautiful place. And so I thought, you know, we moved here and I could breathe a little bit better. I had a cane and I had a walker and I slowly stopped using the walker and then I stopped using the cane. And as I had told you, I have no muscle on the outside of my lower spine, not at all. I shouldn't even sit. I should be strapped in a wheelchair because I have muscular dystrophy. So I shouldn't be sitting here. And I can still walk on the beach, which is such a gift. And I really believe that a lot of it is in part of just being obedient to God because it was very hard to leave our older kids. I know it was really hard for them. It was, you know, that's not something that you normally do. You know, they grow up and move out and we grew up and moved. I mean, they had moved out, but, you know, to another place. But I really am so thankful that my husband was willing to be obedient mm-hmm. and that we got to come to this beautiful place. And when we did, because we couldn't move here now, things have changed, you know, the way the economy is. And it worked out great right before COVID because, you know, we have the beach and we have a pool and the kids could, you know, where we were before, they would have been locked in the house.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
it was just the timing was really incredible.
So your husband was obedient. You leave Tennessee to come to Florida. And your older children, are they still in Tennessee?
So they're all over the place.
Okay. Okay.
Got some in Tennessee. Yeah. They're all over the country and the world right at this point. So yeah.
But obedience, I think, is a key word there. The mere fact that your husband is Mormon and you're raised Catholic and you know, you're still married, you know, and how he led you to that church. I will tell you that he will do that. I have been led to churches before. I've lived and worked lots of different places where you don't have any people, you don't have any friends, family, nothing. And you are led to a church. I mean, that's a real thing. So I completely believe you because it's happened to me before. And then when that happens, it can be just an amazing thing. And I'm so happy to hear that, you know, that you're able to walk on the beach, you know, walking on sand is not easy.
I do not walk far on the beach. I'll tell you that right now. I mean, running on the beach.
I find it challenging myself, but it is beautiful. So glad to hear that. So you mentioned hope and you mentioned the fact that, you know, the depression was something that you couldn't talk about before. But what is it about hope that allowed you to move through this depression and be who you are today?
Oh, gosh, that's a good question. Nobody's ever asked me that question because I never was open about it. You know, I think just knowing that God's there, right? Even when things are rough, even when things are bad, even when things are so bad, you can't see any part of that light at the end of the tunnel, right?
Yeah.
Just even with our heart, we might not feel it, but with our head, we know he's there. Right? We've got his word. We know he's there. So I think just saying, you know, it's kind of like just one day at a time, right? One step at a time. And, you know, even if you take 2 steps forward and 1 step back, you're still moving 1 step every day. And so you just have to keep on going. And that's what I just kept telling myself, you know, I've got these kids, I've got this family, you know, I really don't want to be here. I am really down, but I know that things are going to get better at some point. Now, that may be while I'm here on earth, and it may be when I get to heaven, but at some point, everything's going to be okay. And so that's the hope, right? And it is, it's an amazing hope. And, you know, I was talking to somebody about the word hope, and they said, but, you know, it's a different hope than, oh, you know, I really hope they have something good at the restaurant, or I really hope a good movie comes out. It's not that hope.
Mm-hmm.
It's a knowledge. It's a complete and utter knowledge, but we call it hope.
Wow.
I don't know if that makes sense.
You said a couple of things that's really leading me to ask you this next question. So this season, we're talking about spiritual growth. You've said a few times that you were either, you know, making preparations or thinking about what will happen, you know, after this life is over. To me, it sounds like you don't fear death. And if that's true, is that because of a spiritual growth that you have had in your life?
That's a good question. I don't fear death because I was told so often I was about to die. You know, no one thought I would make it. So in 2014, I was super sick. I was in the hospital 6 separate weeks. No one thought I was going to make it through that year, mm-hmm. which was just like a blur and a miracle all in one. And I think part of it is just, you know, when so many doctors tell you that's it, you just, you know, it's going to happen. I guess you kind of have to make peace with it. But also, if I didn't believe in God and I didn't believe in heaven, it would be terrifying to me.
Yeah.
You know, because it would just be over and anything I had done would just be done. And I can't imagine I can't even imagine how you would make peace with any of that if you didn't believe, you know?
Yeah. You know, I totally believe, but that's hard for a lot of people. And the other thing that it's really connecting with me is my mother was like that. Now, she was a nurse and she took care of terminally ill people. So she saw death. But when she was on her deathbed and we were all there, I was able to get there just, you know, in time. I was in Kansas City. I had to go to Chicago where she was, where I'm from. And she had been under, but she woke up for me. And then, you know, we're all there. And then she says, "Why are you all crying? You know, I don't fear death." It's still hard. It's a hard thing. And yeah. I totally believe in God. I totally believe that my life is meaningful here and that we're going to go on. I get that, but I'm human. And I can't say that I'm afraid of it every day, but I often feel like I need to get to work and finish the work he's given me to do. Cause I don't know, who knows how much longer we have. Right. I do feel mortality. And we've been talking about fabulous women over 50. I am feeling that lately. And I'm feeling like I need to get to work and to do the kingdom work that he's given me. Do you feel like?
I totally understand. Because I think before you're 50, you're thinking, you know, I've got half my life to live.
Mm-hmm.
Even though we're probably not going to make it 200, but I got half my life to live. But once you hit 50, you think, oh, wow. Okay. More than half of my life is over at this point. And I'm going to make I've got to make the best I can. Or, I mean, you can have the attitude like, oh, this is as good as it's going to get and my life sucks and I can't wait to go, you know, kind of a thing.
Yeah.
And which is what I'm trying to help people get out of, right? Just because you're 50 or 60. I'm in a writing group with these two women and they're in their mid 80s. Okay. And they are coming to this writing group every week and they are writing and they're doing all this stuff. And one of them said the most brilliant thing to me. She said, look, someone had told her a decade ago when she was only in her 70s, old is 20 years older than you are. So wherever when you think about it, like to kids, right? They're 10, 30 is over the hill, right? When you're 40, you're like, well, at least I'm not 60. You know, these women and they're in their 80s and they're like, I'm not going to be old till I'm 110. And so I think it's just all perspective.
Yeah. Yeah. A good friend of mine used to say that she wasn't really going to hit her prime until she was in her 90s or something like that. I always thought that was a funny thing that she used to say. It's like, well, I'm hoping it's a little bit younger than that, but no, that's really good thinking. So, all right. So how exactly are you trying to help these fabulous women over 50?
So I've come up with a couple of ideas that I think are, well, one of them is I think it's very unique. I will see. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to, and this is mostly for older women was my original thought, because I know my mom, when she was older, she loved getting these encouraging emails and she'd always forward them to me. You know, they'd say little encouraging things or whatever. And so what I'm going to do is do a video email every single day for people, so that especially so women, if you're living alone for whatever reason, or, you know, because I know a lot of women at a certain age, you know, your children who've moved out and your husband may have passed, or maybe he's tuned out, because unfortunately, way too many husbands have tuned out. You know, and she's sitting there thinking, you know, what the heck? I feel lonely. And so I want to come into her inbox every morning and say, you know, good morning, gorgeous. You are going to have a fabulous day, kind of thing. And just give people just that jump start, because I think that's all a lot of people need is just somebody in their ear every day telling them how wonderful they are. And unfortunately, the older we get, the less we tend to get that. Because, you know, you think about kids, right? People are like, oh, you're so cute. Oh, you're so whatever, you know? And unfortunately, a lot of older people, they don't have anyone telling them that. So I want to be the one to tell them that. And then I'm also starting a community, a private community for people over 50, people that, you know, you're on Facebook, you're whatever, and you've got, you know, quote, friends, but they're not real friends. And then Facebook decides what you're going to see and whatever. And so my group is going to be just these women over 50 that are coming together that can really get to know each other. And we'll have calls, a monthly call where they can all come in and talk to each other and do that sort of thing. And then we're going to have this incredible mastermind thing for women who really want to level up, whatever they're doing. So I'm having one for podcasting women over 50. That's a mastermind where it's this incredible group of women that I'm putting together. And then also for women that are not podcasters. So they can decide and kind of team work where they want to go and what they want to do. Because like I said, I mean, we've got decades, we've got a whole lifetime. You think about a 30-year-old, everything they've done, we've got that. We've got that whole thing. And we tend to not look at our life that way. Yeah. But I want to encourage women to and bring the people that want to grow together so we can grow together. So those are kind of the different things I got going on over there.
Oh, that sounds so good. Well, as I said, you can find out all about these opportunities at jenhardy.net. And where can people find you on social media?
I'm at the Jen Hardy everywhere.
The Jen Hardy.
The Jen Hardy. Someone else took Jen Hardy, so I'm the Jen Hardy. Yeah.
Well, yeah, you are the only Jen Hardy, right?
Yeah. I am the only Jen Hardy. So yeah, that's me.
The most important Jen Hardy. Oh, Jen, thank you so much. Thank you for giving an eye to the older ladies. You know, I don't know. It changes all the time, but I think is 50 the new 30? Is that what they're saying?
There we go. Right. I know it should be.
Yeah.
Right. I don't know. I think I got the blur thing on the Zoom. I'm looking at my skin like, wow, that looks really good as I'm talking to you, you know, and it's funny. I don't know about you, but when I picture myself in my 20s, when I see myself in the mirror, I see myself in the 20s, but when I see a picture of myself, I'm like, who is that old lady who they took a picture of? I don't know. I see it different. It's weird. And so, 50 is the new 30, as long as you don't have to look at a picture.
So great. Well, again, thanks so much for looking out. Your story is so inspiring. I'm glad that you're feeling better, that you're doing well where you are.
Thank you.
That's just, you know, I mean, I'm going to say it's a miracle. I mean, I think it is.
Oh, I think it is.
You know, you got all these diagnoses. So just, you know, bless the Lord for getting you there, and your husband for being so obedient. Oh my goodness. And getting you there.
Yeah. He's amazing.
That's wonderful.
Oh, thank you.
If you had any final words to say to the fabulous women over 50 that may be listening, what would those words be?
Those words would be, get up and find something new to do and find something fabulous that makes you happy and do it.
Amen to that. Amen to that, sister.
So we don't do that for ourselves enough, right? We want to take care of everybody else. It's time. It is time. You can carve an hour out of your day just for you. You deserve it, you know? So yeah. And keep your eyes on God, because that's really important.
From Positively Joy Ministries comes Journaling in His Joy, a new journal that can help you discover what brings real joy by journaling every day and creating a 6-month record of memories worth collecting. With over 240 journaling pages, monthly and weekly check-in sheets, and weekly coloring journal pages, this guided journal will help you find joy even in difficult times by actively looking and choosing to see it in every moment. In this journal, you'll look for joy every day and record what you see and experience. Maybe you'll experience it in a rainbow or a song or in the sound of laughter. Choose joy on days where nothing seems to go right and spread that joy to others. Get your copy of Journaling in His Joy, available at Amazon and other fine booksellers. Thank you for listening to Positively Joy. Go to positivelyjoy.com to hear previous episodes and to learn more about our ministry and books. Support Positively Joy by becoming a Patreon member and sign up for our newsletter. Thanks to Mars Coleman for the use of his song, The Joy of Knowing. And thanks to Susan Marie for editing and production of the podcast. Till next week.
Oh, the joy of knowing. The joy of knowing you. Oh, the joy of knowing.